WWE had 15,000 plus people packed into the Allstate Arena tonight in Chicago for their 11th consecutive sellout on the road to WrestleMania. You know, Chicago is one of the best wrestling cities. All the wrestlers, they rave about it. Whenever they go to Chicago, you always have an electric crowd. They're always very loud. They're always very energetic, especially when you get that many people in the building tonight. And tonight, they were rewarded with the best Monday Night Raw of the entire year. Now, I know we're only 3 months into the year, but the best Raw of 2024 was tonight in Chicago. And it comes at a great time here. We're less than 2 weeks out from WrestleMania. We had Dwayne, look at you now, Johnson.
Look at you now.
Look at you now. Look at you now. I lost track of how many times he said that at the end of the show tonight. Look at you now. The Rock making a surprise unannounced appearance on Raw tonight. He comes out at the beginning of the show. He confronts Cody Rhodes. He has nothing to say. A rare silent appearance by The Rock. He whispered something into Cody's ear at the end of the opening segment. And even though we couldn't hear what he said, now I'm no professional lip reader, but if you watched, it was pretty clear Rock said to him, "I'm going to make you bleed." They showed a replay of it, and it was clear he delivered a message to Cody, "I'm going to make you bleed." And Cody looked a little disturbed by it, and Rock left. And we thought, well, I guess that's it for The Rock, because they originally announced him for Raw in Brooklyn next Monday. So I thought maybe they were going to make us wait a week to find out what Rock said to Cody. We didn't have to wait that long, because The Rock was back at the very end of the show. Jey Uso was in the main event tonight. Got a quick win over Shinsuke Nakamura. Not much of a match, but I looked at the clock and I saw 10 minutes left in the show. And I said, obviously, something's going down here. They got something planned. I thought maybe Jimmy was going to come back, as Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa were there tonight. Maybe they were going to do something with Jimmy and Solo. Had nothing to do with Jimmy. Cody is brawling the bloodline all the way to the back, and The Rock attacks him from behind. And what followed was nearly 10 straight minutes of The Rock kicking Cody's ass. Cody did not throw one shot at The Rock, but The Rock beat the piss out of this guy outside in the pouring rain. He kicked this man. He threw him into the side of his bus. I know it was his bus because you could see his big dog, or as The Rock would say, right, his big stupid dog there emblazoned on the side of the bus. He is beating the piss out of this guy. And the entire time, Rock is screaming,
"Look at you now.
Look at you now. Look at you now."
Look at you now.
Over and over again. And cussing up a storm because USA Network, boy, let me tell you, the censor at USA was working overtime tonight. They bleeped out 75% of what The Rock said at the end of the show tonight. Rock just can't help himself. But The Rock delivered on his promise. He made Cody bleed. We actually got blood. We had Cody gigging at the end of the show tonight, and The Rock took off his weight belt, his white weight belt that said Mama Rhodes, and he took her son's blood and wiped it on the belt. And now he has a gift that he can present to Cody's mom at WrestleMania. I can't get over the fact that Cody did not get a single shot in on The Rock. Because I've seen The Rock have a lot of backstage brawls in my day. We've seen plenty of classic backstage confrontations with Stone Cold and The Rock, right? They go back and forth. They're throwing shots at each other. I mean, for God's sakes, Rock threw him over the side of the road. It was a bridge, right? They were on a bridge, and he threw Austin into a river. I mean, these are the kind of things that we used to see back then. Cody did not throw one single shot. I hope that they're saving it. I hope that that means they're saving it for next week at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, because Rock is on the show next week, and they've already announced that Roman Reigns is going to be on the show next week. And I better see Cody throwing fists in Brooklyn next week. He better show up on Raw next week, wrap his fist in a chain, and crack some skulls in Brooklyn next week. Because if not, what a fucking bum. What a bum he'll be if he doesn't get his revenge on them next week on the show. He better be cracking some skulls. So that was Big Angle. But that was not the only big angle on the show tonight, because they were in Chicago. And of course, Chicago is the home of CM Punk. CM Punk was back tonight, less than 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. Would we find out what his role would be on the show? The answer, yes, we did. We do indeed know what CM Punk will be doing at WrestleMania. Unfortunately, it will not be what the fans in Chicago were hoping. Boy, they were really driving home and teasing the idea that he might be the referee for that World Heavyweight Championship match. I'm kind of surprised they mentioned it so much. At one point, Punk even dropped down and did a count. But in fact, he is not going to be the referee at WrestleMania. He is going to be doing commentary at WrestleMania for the World Heavyweight title match on night two between Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. And I say CM Punk was back in Chicago. I mean, I guess he never really left. He's been sitting at home for the last 2 months. Hasn't really had a whole lot to do. But he did make it known not only what he's going to be doing at WrestleMania. This man came out there tonight and he was dropping bombs left and right on Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. And Drew McIntyre was holding his own out there. Drew McIntyre got off a few shots. It's like having a gunfight in the middle of the street. And this guy is just, he's spraying, he's firing, right? But the other guy, he gets a couple of good shots off, right? He shoots him in the kneecap, maybe, right? Maybe shoots him in the arm. That was Drew McIntyre tonight. He got a couple of good ones in there. And I love it when Punk gets a chance to go out there, because obviously talking is his strong suit. We know this. This is what made him famous. It was his promos, going back to the Ring of Honor days. But I like it when he's able to go out there and box with somebody who throws it right back at him. Now, I'm not saying Drew McIntyre is, you know, a modern-day CM Punk. He has the verbal skills of a CM Punk. But I will tell you that Drew McIntyre has come a long way in these last 6 months. With his character and his heel turn and everything, he has come a long way. And kudos to him, because I thought he more than held his own in that segment tonight. Dare I say, we had a couple of segments on the show tonight that had an Attitude-esque vibe to them. Namely, the end of the show, watching Rock beating Cody up outside, making him bleed. And then the Punk segment with McIntyre and Rollins and the visceral hatred that these men were displaying for each other in that segment. I love both segments. Now, the only issue that I can see with a show that I really enjoyed, this was a quality 3-hour episode of Raw tonight. The only reason that I will sit here and tell you, if I had to make one comment that maybe can be construed as negative, I suppose, when this show is over, the three matches that this show got me the most hyped to see, not one of the three are actually happening at WrestleMania. And we're 12 days out from WrestleMania. Not one of those three matches are even on night one or night two of that WrestleMania card. But damn if they didn't get me hyped up to see it. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about this entire show, because this is your Monday Night Raw review for March 25th, 2024. Now you know why Green Man was not at the beginning of the stream. He wasn't dreading falling into the hole tonight, because we got an excellent episode of Raw. Green Man actually pulled up a chair, and he had a bag of popcorn here, and he was enjoying himself. He was watching the show. By the way, can I ask one question here? Because we had a whole bunch of commercials for it tonight on the show. When did they cast Ric Flair as Chucky? I see all these commercials tonight for the TV series. I guess the new season is about to start up. And I don't know why Chucky all of a sudden looks like he's aged 50 years. Maybe somebody can bring me up to speed on that. But all I could think is, when did they cast Flair as Chucky? I'm glad that he found himself a TV role. But let's go back to the beginning here, and we'll begin with Cody Rhodes, who came out tonight, no suit jacket, but he was all dressed up. Michael Cole said that Cody has been feisty lately, and I'm thinking, boy, he must not have seen that SmackDown show on Friday. I don't want feisty Cody, I want angry Cody, especially after tonight. That's the Cody I want to see. So they were using a different set. It was a more minimalist set. It looked almost like a house show set, or maybe something similar. If you think back to the last time they were in Chicago, we were there for War Games at Survivor Series in November. Very similar type of set, not exactly the same. I liked it. And I'll tell you something, I would be perfectly fine if they adopted that as their permanent set going forward, because as long as they are selling tickets at the rate that they are, and that's why they did it, because they had over 15, almost 16,000 people in the building tonight, I don't blame them at all. I've said that before. If you can sell those tickets, why block off a quarter of the building for the stage and the set if you could open it up and have something a little more minimalist and get more people into the building? And that's what they did tonight. And I've always liked that look if you have the stage and you could still see fans in the upper sections behind the stage. That's the look that they had for Raw tonight. And I would be perfectly fine, more scaled back screen. I'd be perfectly fine if they kept that setup going forward. I loved it. I thought it looked great. Now, Cody asked the Chicago crowd what they wanted to talk about. And I thought for sure he was setting himself up for CM Punk chance. He said that he could say nothing. He said that we were in that final awkward 2 weeks before WrestleMania when the time for talking is over. Well, I mean, this is a show that was carried by the talking, so I wouldn't exactly say that. Had a whole bunch of talking segments tonight. He brought up Roman Reigns' appearance on the Pat McAfee show last Friday and had the crowd give it up for McAfee at the announce desk. And then they all cheered for McAfee. Then he had the crowd give it up for Michael Cole, and he got cheered too. Oh, how far we've come. Think of how far we have come with Michael Cole. That is not the reaction he would have gotten 10 years ago. I think things for Michael Cole began to turn around when he saved Jerry Lawler's life, which is what he may have done, you know, by drawing attention to what was going on. I think that was the night that things began to turn for Michael Cole. You do something like that, you earn a lot of brownie points with people. But yeah, that reaction is not what Michael Cole used to get, I can assure you. Hey, James Hollins is a channel member, so welcome to James. He is a Sound Off superstar, and anybody else who would like to join, you're more than welcome to do so. Just hit that join button down below. Is that Issa? Is that Issa in the chat? I'm sure Issa was eating up that final segment on the show tonight. Issa may well be at the show in Brooklyn next week because her boyfriend's going to be there at the show. So I would be shocked if she wasn't in attendance next week. Perfect timing for Cody to beat them all up. So Cody, remember Roman Reigns last week and their face-to-face on SmackDown. He recalled Roman referring to him as a politician who makes promises that he can't keep. And Cody said, well, Chicago should know more than any other city that when he makes a bet or a promise, he absolutely keeps it. You might say that he goes all in. So he talked about being invited to be a fan's best man at his wedding, which is something that happened at a live event recently. He said, imagine having to explain this to his wife, why he was going and paying for the bachelor party for someone that he doesn't even know. He brought up accepting an invite to some little kid's birthday party, some little brat somewhere. He brings up these things and he says, look, I ask for nothing in return. But he mentions them because Roman Reigns sees it as desperation. Cody said, I pretend to be the champion because the champion isn't here. Which is a hell of a powerful line and not untrue. But that sound you heard, all I could think of is, as soon as he finished saying that line, there he is. As soon as he finished saying that line, that sound you heard was Seth Rollins crying in the back. I pretend to be the champion because the champion isn't here. I didn't think it was possible for them to bury that title even more, but they find new ways to do it every single week. It's very impressive. So Cody said he respects Roman, but he is aware of the way that Roman screwed him out of his dream last year at WrestleMania. He respects Roman, but he hates his guts. Well, at least he said that. That's the closest we got to angry Cody on the show tonight. At least he admitted that he hates this man's guts. He said he understands if Roman hates him because he and his cousin, The Rock, can't have their wank fest at WrestleMania like they wanted to. Cody said if he learned anything last year, it's that he can't do it alone. And he said he actually was going to ask for something in return from the fans. He asked them if they would ride with him during the WrestleMania Night 1 main event, and if they would fight with him on Night 2 when he challenges Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Championship. Cody said that if he was going to point to the WrestleMania sign, he wanted the fans to point along with him, and Cody pointed at the sign, and the fans followed his lead. Here you go. They all pointed to the WrestleMania sign, and then The Rock's music hit. And we got a surprise appearance here from Dwayne Look at You Now Johnson.
Look at you now.
That's right. The Rock came out. People lost their minds because they were not expecting Rock to be there on the show tonight. So here comes the final boss. They were booing this man 5 minutes earlier. They were booing this man. Now they're going nuts for him. But there he was, Hollywood remix and all. Had a new vest on. I'll tell you, you want to know what I'll mark out for? Other than the Hollywood Rock theme, which I'm very happy to hear again. I will mark out like a little kid. If on night two, when inevitably it is Bloodline rules and anything goes and it's going to be an overbooked mess, but it could be a lot of fun. I will mark out if we hear the glass shatter and we hear Disturbed one last time and a certain someone marches down in his vest to the ring and gives Rock one last stunner. I will mark out like a little kid if that happens. And yes, if we can get Hollywood Rock back, the theme song, we can get Disturbed back. There's no reason we can't. Now, the fans chanted, holy shit. And they chanted, this is awesome. This went on for several minutes. Rock had still not said a word. But again, people were very happy to see him. And then they started chanting for CM Punk, which was pretty much their cue to get on with it. Rock put his arms behind his back to show that he was no threat. And he approached Cody in the center of the ring. And then he leaned in and he whispered something to Cody. And then he smiled and he backed away and he made his exit without ever having said a word. He left the ring. And it was right back to the Rocky Sucks chance. And they were booing this man. Fickle! These fickle fans. Is it 25 years? You know what? I think you're right. I think it is 25 years after Rock and Austin's first WrestleMania match, which, funny enough, was in Philadelphia. I'm telling you, man, the stars are aligning here. You got the 40th WrestleMania. You got The Rock back. The Rock is a heel. We already saw Austin wrestle a match 2 years ago, so we know the guy can get physical. 25 years after their first match, it's Philly. I mean, the stars are aligned. Come on. We got to hear the glass shatter at WrestleMania. We have to. Has to happen. So whatever it was that Rock whispered to him, we couldn't hear it. Michael Cole said it looked like Cody was taken aback by whatever Rock said. And that was how the segment came to an end. So that was unexpected. And I thought to myself, boy, you know, Rock made an appearance. And not only did he not say a word, he didn't curse. The Rock actually appeared on TV tonight and did not say a single cuss word. He more than made up for it at the end of the show. But, yeah, he didn't drop any gospel on us either. He loves using that word. There was no gospel dropped by The Rock tonight. Now, as I said earlier, I'm no professional lip reader. But it was pretty clear. He said something about bleed or making you bleed. I didn't think he was telling Cody, I'm going to make your mama bleed. But so it looked as if he told Cody, I'm going to make you bleed. And in fact, by the time this show was over, he delivered on his promise. But when the segment was over, the main thing they accomplished was getting me interested in seeing Cody Rhodes against The Rock at WrestleMania. The only problem is we're not getting Cody Rhodes one-on-one with The Rock at WrestleMania. Now, we should be able to get Cody and Rock on night one. We'll get them for a little bit. And maybe that's for the best, right? Rock and Cody don't have to go out there. Rock doesn't have to have a 15-minute singles match. So maybe this is the best solution to it. But again, a lot of what they have been doing, what have I been saying? Each week we watch these shows, we watch SmackDown. I watched that face-to-face on Friday with Roman and Cody, and I said it was underwhelming. I mean, Roman was just, he was kind of laid back, right? He didn't really have much to say. He didn't treat Cody like any kind of real threat. He wasn't even offended when Cody made that crack about who's really in charge. Is it the tribal chief? Is it the final boss? Roman just kind of brushed it aside. Cody didn't have much to say. And I said, that's it? This is your main event on night two at WrestleMania? Come on, you got to give me something more than that. And it was just very underwhelming. But I said there was a shadow that loomed large over the entire thing, and it was The Rock, even though he wasn't there. And then Rock comes out tonight, again, face-to-face with Cody, and it feels like this is the real main event of WrestleMania this year. It's Rock and Cody. And Rock threatening Cody's mom, I'm going to give you a belt that has your son's blood on it, right? Insulting his mom, insulting his dog, talking about his dad. It seems like the focus is in the wrong place. So yeah, they got me excited for a match that we're probably never going to see. That's the only drawback to it. Otherwise, it was fun to see The Rock make a surprise appearance at the beginning of the show, even though he didn't say anything. But we'll come back to this later. Now, Jackie Redmond caught up with Rock in the back as he was walking through the curtain and asked him, what did he say to Cody Rhodes? And all Rock would say is, go ask Cody Rhodes. We had Ricochet against JD McDonagh of the Judgment Day with Dirty Dom in his corner. Ricochet dropkicked McDonagh out to the floor, and Dom was able to shove McDonagh out of the way when Ricochet was teasing he was going to hit a dive out of the ring, and so he stopped. But then he did hit the twisting dive out to the floor, took out McDonagh. Oh my God. I get to the Judgment Day match, and I get interrupted by the Judgment Day. Alex with the $32 super chat. Alex, thank you. Well timed, my friend. So we hit a twisting dive out onto McDonagh, and Michael Cole and Pat McAfee dropped another Puma reference. This is the second week in a row they talked about Ricochet being as fast as a Puma. I love the little hat tip to Lucha Underground. I don't know how many people that watch Raw ever watched Lucha Underground, but I did, and I appreciate that. So McDonagh was in control when they came back from the commercial break, and Ricochet came back with a handspring elbow, springboard clothesline, standing shooting star for two. Is there nothing this man can't do other than go to WrestleMania? McDonagh responded with a standing Spanish fly, brainbuster for a two count. There was a great spot where Ricochet hit an avalanche poison rana. And then he hit the recoil, but Dom, at the very last minute, he grabbed McDonagh's leg, placed it on the bottom rope to break up the pinfall. Ricochet tried a springboard 450. McDonagh got the knees up upon landing, and then he got cradled, but he kicked out at two. So after another commercial, McDonagh, this went through two commercial breaks here. After another commercial break, McDonagh was back in control. Hit a sit-out powerbomb for two. He then yanked Ricochet up. It looked like he was going for his finish, and I forget what he calls it. But he yanks the guy up, I think, onto his shoulders, and maybe it's some kind of DVD. I don't exactly remember what the move is that he does typically. But when he yanked Ricochet up, and he kind of jerked him up, Ricochet was able to counter it into a Canadian Destroyer, and that popped the crowd. That popped the announcers. They sold it huge. He went to the top. Dom hopped up on the apron for the distraction, and then the referee was there, and so Dominic hopped off the apron, but in doing so, he shook the rope on his way down, and Ricochet got crotched on the top. Referee finally decided he had seen enough. He ejected Dom, big pop from the crowd. Ricochet hit McDonagh with a shooting star press while he was standing. So McDonagh had already gotten back to his feet, and he did the move anyway. He took him down. He got the three. A hot match to open the show. This was a lot of fun. This was great. This is a great match. How does this man not have a match at WrestleMania? You're sending Ricochet out there on TV. You're giving him 15 minutes. And he wins. And he gets this great reaction from the crowd in Chicago. And the announcers are putting him over. Like, man, there's nobody on the planet like this guy. And we're 12 days out. He has no match at WrestleMania. He would be perfect for that ladder match. He just doesn't have a tag team partner. So right now, he's out in the cold. He'll probably be on SmackDown next Friday if they do an Andre Battle Royal. That's where Ricochet will be. Then it was time for CM Punk. This entire first hour, and honestly, I would say even the first half plus of the show, flew by. Flew by more than it would normally fly by on a three-hour show. So I looked, and we're almost the 9 o'clock hour already, and CM Punk now is on his way out to the ring. Out in front of the Chicago faithful. Very happy to see him. Are we at 500 likes already? Could that be? Is that true? Because if we are, I know you guys can get me to 600. That's awesome. Thank you, guys. Punk came out, this right here. This was the segment of the night. Not to take anything away from the end of the show, but this was the segment of the night right here. This is what it's all about. It's these types of segments that I look at sometimes and I say, why can't we get more segments like this? Punk said he had a lot of things he wanted to say. He had a lot of business he wanted to get to, but he said it was good to be alive on a Monday night in Chicago. He said people are asking if he's going to be at WrestleMania. He said the short answer is yes. Of course, they all cheered. He said he's not 100%. The elbow isn't great. He's not medically cleared, but his mouth works. He said, we're not on Netflix yet, so I apologize. April knows what I'm talking about. Punk said people have made suggestions to him that maybe he should host WrestleMania. He said 10 years ago he would have thought that it was beneath him, but now he just wants to be in front of the people. He says he wishes WrestleMania was here in Chicago, and they all cheered. And he goes, hint, hint. So now he's trying to lobby. We had John Cena last year lobbying for a UK WrestleMania. Now we have CM Punk out here tonight lobbying for a Chicago WrestleMania. Where would they do it? I mean, because they only do stadium shows now. I mean, the last Chicago WrestleMania was at, probably in that building. Actually, it would have been Allstate, probably for 22. And it's been in stadiums ever since. So what would they do? Soldier Field? You could do Soldier Field in April for WrestleMania? I don't know. I don't know about that. Chicago WrestleMania, though, would be great. Then he brought up people asking him to be a referee. And he said, boy, you know, I wonder, though, if there's a championship match at WrestleMania, if there's a world championship match that needs a referee at WrestleMania. Punk said there are a lot of people who talk about him and who need to talk about him. Punk pointed to Pat McAfee sitting at the announce desk. And Punk apologized. He said, look, I'm not a daily listener of your show because I listen to the experience and the drive-through. Boy, that'll get a lot of people talking. You know, Cornette didn't just get one plug on TV. He got two. He has two podcasts, and he got them both plugged here on the show. Punk's very good at that, though. He's very good at getting people talking. I said that even when he was in AEW. Sometimes it can work to his disadvantage. Sometimes he can make money with it, but one thing Punk has always been very good at, for better or worse, he knows how to get people talking, whether it's in his Instagram stories, whether it's with a live mic in the ring. He's very good at that. So Punk said that McAfee had Roman Reigns on his podcast, and he was wondering why Roman would bring him up, because Punk's name came up during that interview. Punk said Roman earned that right, and he respected it. He said that he expected to see Roman while he is on his way down the mountain and he is on his way up. Then he brought up Seth Rollins and said he's magically taller than he is now that he wears high heels. He said Rollins laughed at him for getting hurt, laughed at him for paying the price of being a pro wrestler since he was 15 years old. Punk said maybe Rollins has earned that right, but it's kind of funny coming from someone with two bad knees. And Punk said one man that has not had a word to say about it, he has not said anything about him, is The Rock. He said he'd like to think that it's because 10 years ago he came face to face with the Second City Saint and realized that his arms were just too short to box with God. Nice little callback there. He was calling out a lot of people tonight. He mentioned The Rock, he named Roman, obviously he mentioned Seth. Drew would be out here in a moment. He was setting up a lot of, I don't see him wrestling Rock, but he was setting up a lot of potential matches for down the road. He goes, and then there's Drew McIntyre. He said, he hasn't said a word about what Drew's been saying about him. That's because he doesn't live on the internet. He handles his business live and in living color, face to face, like a man. Cue Drew McIntyre's music, and out he comes. He walks out, and Punk yells for them to turn off this stupid song. Nobody wants to hear it. He said, I'm not medically cleared, but I'm not looking to have a wrestling match. Why don't you get your bitch ass in here? McIntyre said he would love to get in the ring and beat Punk's arse, but the last time they were in the ring together, he stomped his arm because he deserved it. And then he prayed for this, and it happened. I should mention that earlier today, because his troll game has been on point now ever since Punk got hurt. I mean, Drew has been fantastic. So they were in Chicago, and so Drew filmed him arriving at Mindy's Bakery. And he gets there, and he realizes that the bakery is closed. Because if you remember from the scrum, Punk said that Mindy's is closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. And Drew said, what business closes on Mondays and Tuesdays? He goes, that doesn't matter. It probably tastes like crap anyway. But he actually went to Mindy's. And then he turned right around, got back in his car, and left. Punk asked if Drew is a Scottish psychopath in a kilt or an internet troll in a skirt. And McIntyre said that, hey, it's 2024 and you can get canceled for talking like that. You can get canceled these days for a lot less than that. You can get canceled for breathing these days. Got to be careful. McIntyre made his way around the ring and he showed off his CM Punk inspired t-shirts. He was wearing his new one. He's got a new one out. And then underneath, he had the old one with Drew kneeling over Punk's grave. Kneeling over it. His WrestleMania dreams going like this. He had that shirt on underneath. Punk said he never had to put another man's name on a shirt to sell it. And McIntyre tore off one of the shirts. He said he struggled, he said, to get out of it because of his biceps, which is something that Punk probably never had an issue with. McIntyre climbed onto the announce desk, and then he dropped one of the greatest things I've ever heard. This right here, as great as this entire segment was, I actually thought that Drew stole the entire thing with this line. If he came up with this himself, he deserves a medal for it. I don't know if somebody, you know, pitched it to him, or again, if he just thought of it, but this was perfect. He said, you want to know the most ironic thing about CM Punk? He said this straight edge stuff, goes, you never drink, you never do drugs, yet you spend all your time in rehab. And Punk just looked at him, and Punk mouthed something, and I think he may have been agreeing with him. Punk knew, okay, that's a pretty good line. But I thought about it, and I said, you know, it just makes total sense, because he is straight edge, and he does talk about the fact that he doesn't do drugs, and he doesn't drink, right? And how many wrestlers go to rehab for that? And yet Punk has been hurt so many times, it's the perfect burn. And I just thought, bravo. I applaud. I applaud whoever came up with that line. If it's Drew, I applaud him. Fucking perfect. So McIntyre said he doesn't hate Punk. Punk actually completes him. He talked about how Punk helps him in the gym, you know, when he needs that last rep. And he's lifting weight that Punk at no point during his entire life would be able to lift. It's Punk, when he thinks about Punk, that's able to get him through the rest of that workout. And even something like the Elimination Chamber, he's in there. He entered first. He got a busted eardrum, right? I mean, all this competition. And just when he was maybe starting to doubt himself and he thought he couldn't do it, he thought of CM Punk and he was able to soldier through and he won the Elimination Chamber match. He said, Punk is his muse. Punk told McIntyre to get in the ring. McIntyre said he knows what the people of Chicago were like. Punk probably has a weapon. He would try to take him out before WrestleMania. So Punk laid down in the ring. And then McIntyre sat down, cross-legged, on the desk, and said Punk doesn't have... He doesn't have to sneak into WrestleMania. He actually wants him to be there.
Bro.
He wants him to be at WrestleMania. Hey, Nick Grasso, thank you for the $20. Thank you, brother. Drew said that he's always been the chosen one. Now, as great as that Drew line was, Punk came back with something here that I was not expecting. So McIntyre, he reminds people, because when he first came into the company, Vince McMahon anointed him as the chosen one. Until he wasn't, and then they fired him. But he goes, I'm the chosen one. And Punk goes, chosen one? Who chose you? Said, who? What's his name, huh? He goes, tell me what paragon of good virtue chose you. He said, it wasn't the good people in Chicago Or San Antonio when they went off the air and they all chanted CM Punk. And then everybody in the crowd chanted CM Punk. Again, to go back to this over here. Who chose you? Who? Tell me his name. I was fucking dying. I don't know if he just slipped that in there after the fact and didn't tell anybody, but wow. Wow. Yeah, I don't think of him as the paragon of virtue either. So we can agree on that. McIntyre told Punk to go ahead, get it all out, because it would still be months before you would be back in the ring. And he suggested that if Punk wanted to be part of the show, he should be a guest commentator for the world title match, and he should have to sit there and watch McIntyre finally get his moment and raise that title above his head live in front of actual people inside of a stadium. Cue the consolation champion. Here comes Seth Rollins. And I'm thinking, oh, it was going so well. This segment was going so well, and now here comes Seth Rollins. But he didn't ruin it. He didn't ruin the segment. He didn't ruin the segment. He was feeling a little bit left out, I guess, of all the fun. And so it's like, hey, guys. He already got burned by Cody, indirectly, right, earlier in the show. So now he has to come out here and he has to say something. He has to try to save face. And Punk looked annoyed when he came out. So we got Rollins and Punk. They were face-to-face in the ring. McIntyre is outside the ring, sitting cross-legged on the announce desk like a fan who's watching. Rollins said, now that we have firmly established whose show this is after the fans finish singing his song. Now that we've established whose show this is, whose show this has been, and whose show this is going to be, if you two children, and he got cut off by chance of CM Punk, and Punk said, look, it could be your show, but it's my city. Rollins said, he knows it's an away game for him tonight, but if you guys are done trying to out-troll each other, maybe we can get down to business. He said, if you two morons had one brain cell between the two of you, you would know that you don't get to make decisions about the World Heavyweight title match of WrestleMania because you aren't in it. But, since you guys want to take people's opinion on it, everybody except the champ, he said, why not pull the fine folks here in Chicago? And so he said, WrestleMania 40, Seth Rollins against Drew McIntyre for the world title. Should CM Punk be on commentary? And it got a nice reaction, but that's not what people want CM Punk to do at WrestleMania. They want him to be in the ring. They want him to be a part of the actual match in some way. They want him to referee. And they started chanting, referee. And Rollins said, look, I don't know if you guys know this, but that's his counting arm right there. And he pointed to Punk's right arm that had the brace on it. And then Punk dropped down to the mat, and he counted three with his one good arm. And everybody cheered. Punk smiled and said, you know, in all fairness, I don't think that I could be objectively fair with these two dipshits. So... and they censored dipshits. You know, it is funny because we had a lot of reports recently about talent being upset that Rock gets to go out and go on social media and cut these 10-minute and 20-minute promos, and even on TV. You know, he gets to go on TV and he gets the cuss, which of course gets a big reaction. And so if he could do it and nobody else can do it, we're handicapped. It's not right. Right? We had a couple of different reports out about that. And on this show alone tonight, we had Rock later in the show. So obviously Rock was going to say whatever he wants. But no one told CM Punk. Apparently CM Punk didn't get the memo from the upper management in the company. Called these two men dipshits. So McIntyre piped in and he said, PG, brother. This was so good. Rollins asked Punk if he wanted to know what he thought. Punk said, nope. I swear to God, I can't. Like every time we have something like that on the show where Rollins gets buried, I just fucking laugh. I just laugh. Whether it's intended or not. Again, the Cody crack earlier or here. Yeah, do you want to know what I think? Nope. This man, you got to get the world title off this guy. If you want this world title to mean anything at all, you must get it off this guy and get it on anybody else. and then maybe he'll have a fighting chance. Because it just is not going to happen as long as he's got the belt. I'm sorry. Well, Rollins said, well, that's ironic, because I don't think anything about you. Matter of fact, Punk hasn't crossed his mind since the last time they were in the ring together. And Rollins said that he doesn't give a damn about Punk. Punk is a non-factor to him, and it doesn't matter if he wants to be on commentary or if he wants to be a referee at WrestleMania for their match. But the funny thing is, Punk talks about how everybody needs him, but the truth is, Punk needs him. Punk needs Seth to have a moment at WrestleMania. Rollins said he likes the idea of Punk being on commentary, and the irony of Punk narrating his finest hour is not lost on him. But truthfully, the way things are going for Punk, it's about as close to a world championship as you're ever going to get. He told Punk to do whatever he wants at WrestleMania, but the one thing he needs him to do is stay out of his way. Punk said, okay, it's decided. He's going to sit next to Michael Cole and Pat McAfee and do a little commentary at WrestleMania. And he guaranteed that he would do something that McIntyre, the lips in his boots, the shoe polish in his beard, the skirt, and the stupid sword he comes out with, and Rollins, his bell bottoms, his championship, his wife, ooh, and his 10-year absence from this company could never do, make both of them interesting. Now hit my music. And they played Punk's music, and he went to go leave. That was his little pipe bomb for the night. McIntyre, though, he started yelling, cut his music. He's not even in the match at WrestleMania. He doesn't even have a match. You don't get the last word. Cut his music, and they cut Punk's music. McIntyre, he started to climb up the stairs into the ring. He said, Punk is obsessed with him because he is living Punk's dream. Punk is his number one stan. And then he dropped an Eminem reference to the song as he got into the ring, only to eat a super kick from Seth Rollins. And then the stomp followed. Rollins then left the ring. He blew right past Punk in the aisleway on his way to the back. Holy shit. This segment was incredible. And again, I can't believe that Punk went with the Vince McMahon reference, but there it was. Didn't even have to say the man's name. You knew exactly who and what he was talking about. I know we get a lot of talking on these shows. We get talking sometimes in excess on these WWE shows. And sometimes it isn't very good. Sometimes it just sounds very forced or rehearsed. Sometimes it could be 15 minutes and it just doesn't go anywhere, right? You'll have a segment where they're announcing something and it's like, all right, it took you 18 minutes to do what you could have done in 4, right? We have a lot of segments like that. In WWE. But this was one of the best promo segments on either show, Raw or SmackDown, that I can remember in years. This was great. This was fantastic. They clearly let these guys go out there and just do their thing. They had their bullet points. They knew where they were going with it. They knew, you know, the kind of the high notes they had to hit. But they clearly let them go out there and just workshop it themselves and let them go do their thing. And it had a very attitude-esque vibe to it in that way. Because what you had in this segment, and this is something that I think is really lacking in wrestling these days. I'm watching this and it really felt to me like you had three men out there who had a genuine disdain for each other. And I don't know how Drew McIntyre really feels about CM Punk. I don't know if Seth Rollins, what he has said all these years about how he genuinely does not like this man. I don't know how much of that is true, how much of that is exaggerated, because one day he thought maybe we'll do business together. Are we still connected here? Sorry, we had a little outage here. Let's pick up where we left off here, because I was still talking about Punk and McIntyre and Rollins. What I was saying is, you had three men out there tonight who felt like they genuinely had a level of hatred, of legitimate hatred for each other. And I am not sure how legitimately Seth Rollins dislikes CM Punk. I don't know if, again, he's embellishing when he talks in interviews about how he really doesn't like Phil. And, you know, he's talking about Punk and all the reasons why he just doesn't care for him. But whatever it is, when you have a segment like this where you can make people believe, and that's what they did here with me, when they can make you believe that they truly do not like each other, those are the segments that I enjoy the most. When I see two guys or three guys out there and they're going out there and they're cooking each other, they're lighting each other up, and I feel like, man, these guys really feel like they don't like each other, and I can kind of get lost in the whole thing, then you know you're onto something. Then you know you've got something that's clicked, and that's what this segment was. The only bad thing is they, think of it as a bad thing, they teased the idea that at WrestleMania, Punk would be potentially a referee in the championship match on night two. And fans genuinely wanted to see him as the referee, and they didn't give that to him. They announced that he'll be on commentary for the match instead. And that's fine, because, you know, he'll still be a part of the match, at least in some way. I don't have an issue with it, because talking is his strong suit. If they want him to do commentary, I think that's fine. But I can see where some people watching this would be like, man, commentary, like, that's it? You know, like, that's the best you can come up with for him. But, yeah, I get it. That's fine. He's still going to be involved in the match in some way. But again, this segment was absolute gold, and it got me very interested to see CM Punk against Drew McIntyre. It got me very interested to see CM Punk against Seth Rollins. And unfortunately, we're getting neither of those matches at WrestleMania, which is coming up in 12 days. And so WrestleMania, in effect, what it feels like is it feels like the bridge. Instead of WrestleMania being the culmination of something, it feels like the bridge to something else. But Punk is hurt. You know, Punk's off the card, and there's not a whole lot that they can do about that. But this is the kind of segment that can sell a lot of tickets. I mean, this right here is the kind of segment they say, oh, you know, this could sell pay-per-views. Well, they don't have pay-per-views anymore. They make their money all kinds of different ways, but this is the kind of segment that could get people invested in the show. This is the kind of segment that will sell tickets to arenas for people who want to see Punk in there against this guy, McIntyre in there against that guy. And they did that tonight. And they got me very, very hyped to see what's coming up in the future. But again, here in Chicago, Punk in front of his people, it was gold. McIntyre held his own. Rollins, weakest part of the segment, but I wouldn't say he was bad. He just felt like the third wheel. And honestly, that's how Seth Rollins has felt for a while now. He has felt like the third wheel. So why should it be any different here in this segment? Coming up next, we have Candice LeRae one-on-one with Ivy Nile. And again, hopefully you guys can still see me. Hopefully everything is better now. Again, I cannot see the live chat, so just be aware of that. I can see your super chats. I cannot see the live chat. It died on me. Hopefully you guys can still chat with each other. It's probably a simple thing, too. I bet if I don't want to try anything here. I may make it worse if I try something, but we'll soldier on. Candice LeRae one-on-one with Indy Hartwell. Or I'm sorry, no, what am I saying? Candice LeRae against Ivy Nile. Indy Hartwell was outside the ring. No entrance for either woman. Just ding, 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 and the match began. Candice dumped Nile out to the floor, and Maxine Dupri, who was out there in Ivy's corner, Maxine climbed up onto the apron, got knocked down by Candice, who then sat down in the corner and started clutching her knee. She was feigning a knee injury. And the referee went over to go check on her. And Candice, what she wanted Indy to do was go ahead and take a cheap shot at Ivy on the outside. And Indy, of course, doesn't subscribe to this new attitude that Candice has adopted. And she had a little bit of a crisis of conscience here, and she couldn't do it. She couldn't bring herself to do it. So Ivy ends up going inside. She tries to go after Candice. The referee holds her back because he's falling for this BS. Ivy got past the referee. Candice, though, tripped her, put her feet up on the ropes. Referee did not see that, and she got the pin to win the match. After the match was over, Candice skipped merrily past Indy Hartwell, who did not have a very happy look on her face. I am certain that the time here got cut, because this didn't even go 2 minutes. I am certain that the time got cut because of the previous segment probably going long, which was well worth it. But it served its purpose, which was to further the attitude change that Candice LeRae is currently going through as she is in the process of going heel. And Indy Hartwell is not happy with her actions. That's the story they're telling. In the back, New Day and DIY, they had a bit of a prickly exchange about their ladder match coming up at WrestleMania. R-Truth and The Miz entered, and Truth had some Truth comedy here. Meanwhile, if you paid attention in the background, while this segment was going on, you could see Drew McIntyre, and he was deep in conversation with Paul Heyman. Triple H has done a lot of that ever since he took over the book. Even going back to the beginning when Vince first stepped away, one of the things that he took a liking to doing was in these backstage segments, there will be an interview going on or two people will be talking, and you always have to have your eyes peeled because in the background, there's always some weird meeting going on between two people. Or for a while there, remember they used to have the puppets, like the Bray Wyatt puppets would pop up. There's always something going on in the background here. So we don't know what McIntyre and Heyman were discussing, but they were deep in conversation. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. What I wouldn't give for an extra hour in my day. It would be an extra hour to get some work done, to get some sleep, or get some work done while I sleep. All right, so I guess it doesn't work that way. A lot of us wish that we had more time in our lives, but we don't. So how do you make use of that time that you do have? You need to know what's most important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you figure out what matters most to you so you can do more of it. Therapy can be helpful to you in a whole lot of different ways. It can teach you important coping skills. It can help you overcome certain insecurities that you may have about yourself. It can help you better understand your own feelings. And that's just a few. Therapy is not just for people who may have experienced a trauma of some sort in their lives, but it can help you there too if you have been through anything like that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's all online. It's designed to be convenient and fit into your schedule, regardless of how busy you may be. All you need to do to get started is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And even better, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. See, I told you it was convenient. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. We had the New Day against DIY. This went through a commercial break. After the break, didn't go very long. All the members of the Judgment Day ran out to attack for what I assume was a no contest. They never announced what the decision was here, but Johnny Gargano technically got attacked first, but my guess is that they just threw the whole match away. Judgment Day laid out everybody, including Miz, who got off commentary to go try to help. Truth stayed on commentary because they were out there for the duration of the match. And when the Judgment Day spotted him, because Truth was the only guy left, and they all went to the outside and he was surrounded. And Truth turns around, he sees Stu, the cameraman. He's trying to throw it to a commercial break. Go to commercial, go to commercial. They didn't go to commercial. The one time on the show, because they go to commercial all the time, they didn't go to commercial. And they grabbed Truth, they put him in the ring. Truth, though, was fighting them all off. He fought off Dom, he fought off Balor, McDonough, whoever was out there. And the people were up for it, they were cheering him, and then Damian Priest got in the ring. And Damian Priest picked him up overhead for a razor's edge, and he dropped him. Balor finished him off with a coup de grace, and the Judgment Day posed. Now, to the back. Jackie Redmond was with Cody Rhodes and asked him, "What did The Rock say to you in the ring earlier tonight?" And Cody apologized to her and the fans because what Rock told him was something that he did not want to repeat. Which was lame, by the way. You know the fans want to know. Obviously, it played into what happened later in the show. But it made Cody look like a goober here. I mean, you would think that Rock said something so patently offensive, and he told him he's going to make him bleed. But apparently, for your virgin ears, he didn't want you to know. So he said, no, I can't repeat what he said, but he did say that it was a promise that Rock could not keep. So I guess he told him the UFL is going to turn a profit this year. Welcome to the nearly 1,900 we have left after our little outage. I'm pissed off, man. We had 2,200 people in here. And then a bird took a shit on a power line, and I went out there for a few minutes. But we're back. We're back. And again, for people coming in, I cannot see the live chat. I hope you can. I hope you guys are having fun in the live chat without me. But I will be going through your super chats because those are still pushing through. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, we had Andrade against Giovanni Vinci. Originally, they had advertised Andrade against Ivar. And Michael Cole mentioned that Ivar was not medically cleared. They didn't say why. So we got Vinci instead. Andrade went for a moonsault, and he landed on his feet when Vinci moved, but then he hit Vinci with a standing moonsault. He stole Charlotte's move. Charlotte's not going to be happy about this. I can't believe it. I can't believe that he stole her move. Vinci can't, and I know I'm going to get comments from people who aren't going to, they're not going to get my sarcasm. You wait until some of the comments I get for that. Vinci came back with a running crossbody block that took us into a break. Andrade won the match later. He had a finish that now he is calling the message. And it's a twisting double underhook suplex. So that's what he's calling it now. But they had a quality match. Andrade was out there playing face, even though he has been recruited of late by the Judgment Day. They weren't out there, but they've been keeping their eye on him. And when I talked about SmackDown on Friday, Rey Mysterio had a match with Santos Escobar. And Dominic came out at the end to distract his deadbeat dad, and he cost him the match. So out of nowhere, all of a sudden, we're back to Rey and Dom. And Dom left with Escobar. And my first thought was, well, the match at WrestleMania is going to be Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee against Santos Escobar and Dominic, because Dragon Lee is the one that, for a while anyway, they were pushing him on SmackDown, and I can't imagine it would be Rey and Carlito. Didn't give any thought to the possibility that, what about Andrade, right? Because I still had SmackDown brain. Meanwhile, Dom is a Raw guy. So Raw and SmackDown, doesn't matter who's where, it doesn't matter. That all goes out the window. And so, yes, it makes a lot more sense if it ends up being Rey and Andrade taking on Dom and Escobar, which is what I think the match will end up being. We'll see. Again, they didn't do anything on this show to tease anything with Andrade and the Judgment Day. He just went out there and he won a match. My guess would be we end up with Rey and Andrade as partners at WrestleMania. Rhea Ripley was in the ring next for a promo with Dominic. She also had a cast on her wrist, which I know she had that on at the live events this weekend as well. She said that she feels like a certain someone is not giving her her full attention, because Becky continues to fight week after week after week. And she says, I could have attacked her after one of her many matches, but nope, I chose to be respectful. But now she's just getting very impatient, she says, because WrestleMania is right around the corner and Becky should be giving me her full attention. Don't you think, Dom? And she gave the mic to Dom, and Dom went to go speak. And before he could even get anything out, Becky Lynch interrupted, her music did, and she made her way down to the ring. Becky said that Ripley was fresh as a daisy and she didn't need to wait for her to wrestle a 20-minute match to confront her, because Rhea doesn't wrestle on Raw anymore, which is true. That's why I said on the podcast the other day, Slammy Awards, the voting is underway. Voting, you can vote right now in the Slammy Awards on WWE.com until Wednesday. One of the categories is Female Superstar of the Year over the past 12 months, including the beginning of this year. And I thought about Rhea Ripley, and I couldn't bring myself to vote for her. I said if I had to vote for anybody in the category, it would be Becky Lynch, because Becky has had a more impressive last 6 months than Rhea has. Rhea's been champion for almost a full year. What has she done? I mean, just I know she's been getting a lot of screen time. She's an important part of the show, and she's super over. But you look at her body of work as champion, it is completely lackluster as far as the people they've put her with. Nothing terribly interesting. No matches I would consider to be great. I mean, the in-ring has to count for something. Becky's had her working shoes on now for many months. So I would go with Becky over Rhea. Rhea's someone who does not wrestle on TV very often. So Ripley questioned why she would compete before the biggest match of her career. She said that she doesn't have to get in the ring every week to get attention. She said she can post a photo online or a video online and watch these freaks eat it up. Speaking of which, I don't know how many of you saw the video. There have been a couple of videos from some of the live events recently. So I'm sure you've seen at least one of them of Rhea giving, I think it was Nia. She gave Nia a stink face. And of course, everybody online was just losing their minds. But I actually saw a great video earlier today. And maybe it was a triple threat because Becky was in there, Nia was in there, and Shayna Baszler was in there. And Rhea was teasing another stink face, and Shayna said, wait. And she got down to the corner and she said, give it to me. She wanted it. She wanted it. And then Nia comes in and breaks it up and everybody boos. So even Shayna Baszler cannot get enough of Rhea Ripley. So Becky told Rhea, listen to yourself. She said, they have two very different interpretations of what a champion is. She said, for you, it's posting your ass on the internet for attention. But for me, it's busting my ass in the ring night in and night out to prove myself. She said, there's always going to be someone newer, someone younger, but it's a long game that's about skill, merit, and survival. She said, it's how you come back when you're in the muck, when you're not the champion anymore. She said, Ripley has not experienced that yet, but she will give Rhea a new experience. Rhea came back and said, Becky is a survivor, and then labeled her a cockroach. Like TNA. Ripley said that Becky is hard to kill. See, they even used a TNA pay-per-view name. But even still, she said it's not impossible. She said she's not going to take it that far, though, at WrestleMania, because she wants Becky to be home on her couch, watching her do her thing. She said she wanted Becky to sit next to her daughter and listen to little Rue refer to her as mommy. That's cold. That's a cold line. Becky told Ripley, she got very serious now. Yeah, you bring up someone's family. Now the gloves are off. Becky says, that was your one pass. She said, if you ever mention my daughter again, it will be the last words that you ever say. She said, it's not funny to me. She said, my father never got to meet my daughter, his granddaughter. And she was getting emotional. She talked because her dad passed away. She talked about her dad and said her father was proud of what she had done in the ring. But the thing is, he would be most proud of the mother that she has become. She said, it might be a joke to Rhea, but it's not a joke to her. She pointed at the title around Rhea's waist and said, that might be a joke to you, but it's not a joke to me. She said, you didn't attack me out of respect. There's nothing respectful about you. She said that neither one of us would be the same again after WrestleMania. And she threw her mic down. Rhea did the same. They yapped at each other. Dom got in between them and held Ripley back. Now, Becky said something that got Dominic's attention. So Dominic turns around, and Becky punches him in the face and knocks him down. And they showed a replay of this later on. She got him. I mean, she clocked him right in the jaw pretty good. I mean, the replay, it looked great. And Dom sold it great, and he went down. And then Becky and Rhea, they finally came to blows. Rhea got the better of it, put her down with a kick. Then she ran Becky shoulder first into the ring post. Ripley left the ring to go check on Dom. Becky regrouped and came back. She dove off the ring steps and tackled both of them. Dom pulled Rhea away. Referees came down. They got involved and tried to break him up. And Becky broke free. She knocked Dom down. They traded punches. Becky was saying, I hate you, I hate you, as they were holding her back. This was another really good promo segment on this show. Really good. Number two. It was not at the level of the previous segment with Punk and Rollins and McIntyre, but this was still a very good segment. Becky was very good in particular, especially, you know, the latter part of the promo where it came, you know, it became personal and it came down to family. And she was talking about her daughter and don't you dare say her name again. It'll be the last thing you ever say if you do. And just, you know, relating it to family, explaining to the audience why this match, it's not just another match. You know, I mean, to her, this was an important match for a lot of different reasons. And she was able to articulate that in a way that I think a lot of people can relate to. And that's how you sell a match at WrestleMania. And I thought they did a very good job of that here in this segment. Talked about why this is so important to her. And obviously Rhea, you know, whatever happened to her wrist can't be that serious. So I guess just for some protection, she's got the cast on for now. Sami Zayn was in the back, and he was walking by when he spotted Chad Gable having a conversation with Maxxine Dupri. Gable ended his conversation with her and told Sammy, hey, look, I want to talk to you about how things ended with us last week. Sammy said it was fine because Gable and Gunther both don't think he can beat Gunther. And Sammy said that Gunther doesn't even think he can beat Bronson Reed tonight. Sammy said the match was about making Gunther eat his words. And Gable said, look, this isn't about Gunther. He told him to get his head out of his ass. Sammy conceded that Gable was right and told him that he knew what needed to be done tonight. And Sammy told Gable he appreciated what he said, and they shook hands. And that led into the next match, which was Sami Zayn one-on-one against Bronson Reed. Zayn sent Reed to the ringside, or to the floor out at ringside, and then hit him with a flip dive. Back inside, Reed knocked Sami down and then sent him to the floor. Reed went to the apron, hit Sami with a shoulder tackle on the floor. That took us into a commercial break. When they came back, Reed had a bloody nose from something I think that happened during the break. I don't know if it was a broken nose. He may have just gotten it busted. Gunther walks out on stage. He's going to observe and get a little bit of a closer look. That got Sammy's attention. It briefly distracted him. Reed took advantage of that. Sammy, though, avoided a splash in the corner, rolled him up, only got two. Sammy tried and then failed to slam him. And Reed suplexed him, covered him for a two count. Sammy came back with a tornado DDT. He looked over at Gunther. He set up for the Huluva kick. But when he came in, Reed took him out with a clothesline and then a running senton. That's a big man. All that weight comes crashing down on top of Sammy. And then Bronson Reed, he headed up top and he pancaked Sami Zayn with a tsunami splash. And that's all she wrote. I love how they protect that splash. I was hoping Sammy would not kick out there, and he didn't. And Reed got the win. And right there, not only did he get the win, but he pinned the number one contender for the Intercontinental title going into WrestleMania. So that automatically now, coming out of WrestleMania, sets him up, in theory, to challenge whoever the champion is coming out of the show. So that's one thing that hopefully that they will follow up on there. Now, it would seem counterproductive. Why would you beat your number one contender heading into one of the bigger matches on the WrestleMania card? And normally I would look at that and go, that doesn't make any sense. I would argue that in this case, it was the right call. For the story that they are telling right now with Sami Zayn and Chad Gable, it is the right call to have Sami Zayn take the loss here. They are telling a story. Where the story is going to end up, nobody knows. But clearly there is a story that they are telling here. Case in point, when the match was over, in the back, Sammy was very upset. He let Gunther get in his head. He asked Gable, how could I have allowed this to happen? How could I let this happen? And Gable told him, look, this is exactly what Gunther does. This is what he wanted to do. He got in your head. He planted the seeds of doubt. He said Gunther's game was mental, and he will beat you down until you give in to those doubts. If Sammy wants to win at WrestleMania, he said he needed a different approach, and Gable offered to help him, and Sammy accepted. Now, why Sammy would accept an offer from someone who just loses all the time, I don't know. And I like Chad Gable, but let's be honest, he loses all the time. Apparently, though, he's got great advice. It's like the single guy, right, who isn't married and doesn't have anything going on, but he gives great advice. Everybody takes relationship advice from him, right? This doesn't make any sense. But he's going to help Sami Zayn. And it seems pretty clear to me, the feeling that I have here is a Chad Gable heel turn. That does not necessarily mean that he is going to cost Sami the match at WrestleMania. It could mean that Sami follows his advice, follows his game plan, and loses anyway. It could be that Sammy does not follow the game plan that Gable sets for and loses. And Gable is pissed off, and Gable then just loses it and attacks him after the fact. And we get a Chad Gable heel turn, and coming out of WrestleMania, we get a Gable-Zayn feud with Zayn as the babyface, Gable as the heel. That's kind of what this feels like to me. And look, as long as they're doing something with Chad Gable, I'm happy. The man should be featured. I thought there was a great underdog babyface story there. You're squandering it if you turn him heel. It's a wasted opportunity. But they've already made their choice. Their choice for WrestleMania was Sami Zayn. Their choice was not Chad Gable. And it may well be that their decision of WrestleMania is to have Gunther retain. And if he's going to retain, you know, I'd rather him do that by beating Sammy than beating Gable for the fourth or fifth time. Jey Uso delivered a promo backstage about his upcoming match with Shinsuke Nakamura when suddenly his attention was diverted to someone off screen. And then we see Solo Sikoa. And then we see Jimmy Uso. And Jimmy says, "No yeet." And he laughs, and they walk away. Uh-oh. It was main event Jey Uso in the main event against Shinsuke Nakamura. Jey was backstage. He was at Gorilla. He was getting ready to come out when Seth Rollins walked up to him, and Seth said, "Nah, something doesn't feel right about tonight." I'll say. Rock was there. Jimmy was there. Solo was there. Heyman was there. Roman Reigns wasn't there. He couldn't be bothered to be there. Everybody else was there. He told Jey, "Look, you know that I got your back and Cody's got your back. Now go out there and get the W." So the match began. They went to commercial break 90 seconds into this match. Jimmy and Solo, after the break, entered through the crowd. No sooner did they step over the barricade than Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes run out to counter them, and they're all brawling. Drew McIntyre shows up. He drops Seth Rollins on the floor outside with a Future Shock DDT. So Seth is out, and that's important because there had to be a reason why Seth would not come to Cody's rescue at the very end. Although I don't know what the explanation would be for Jey Uso. I saw Seth take a Future Shock DDT. Maybe I missed something with Jey, but Seth was taken out. So in the ring, Jey hits Nakamura with a super kick, hits a spear, gets the win. There's 10 minutes left in the show. So you know with 10 minutes left in the show that something's going to go down here. It cut to the back. Cody is brawling with Jimmy. Solo tried to jump Cody. Cody took him out as well. But then Cody gets attacked from behind by The Rock. The Rock never left. The Rock is still there. Rock tossed him around a little bit, and then he shoved him out the arena door, out the back exit door, outside of the Allstate Arena, and it is pouring rain outside, which I actually thought added to the segment. I thought it just made for a nice environment here. As the rain fell, and Cody is on his hands and knees, like a dog, like Pharaoh, crawling on the ground, Rock is continuously putting the boots to Cody, and he is continually getting censored by USA Network. He dropped a couple of shit bombs. He dropped an F-bomb at one point. That I can understand. But they were just constantly censoring almost everything that came out of this guy's mouth, except for this. "Look at you now." That's right, because we heard that about 16 times. They didn't censor that, but they censored everything else. So again, he's putting the boots to Cody, and he's telling him, "Look at you now.
Look at you now.
Look at you now." Over and over again. "Look at you, boy." Worked over Cody in front of Cody's tour bus. How do I know that it's Cody's tour bus? I guess it was the giant logo and the giant dog plastered on the side that gave it away. But he's throwing him into the bus. Cody is not fighting back, by the way. And it's not as if Rock at this point has done anything terrible to him. It's not like Rock hit him in the head. I mean, he hit him in the head with a garbage can. But it's not like he incapacitated this man. He's not even trying to fight back. And so Cody is getting his ass kicked here. And then finally, Cody comes up bleeding. And Rock said that what he promised effectively came true here. Telling him to get up, boy. Rock's the final boss. You want to run your mouth. You want to be a hero. Rock called him a son of a bitch. Talked about Mama Rhodes. "Hey, Mama Rhodes. Look at your son, Mama Rhodes." Rock asked the viewers at home if they want to know why he is the final boss. And he got censored and said that didn't have to be like this. He said Cody stuck his nose in his business. But he mentioned when he saw that he was bleeding, he said, "The prophecy has come true." So they never actually told us what he whispered to Cody, but it's like I said, clearly he whispered to him, "I'm going to make you bleed." So Cody is sitting there on the ground, blood's coming from his head. And Rock tells Mama Rhodes to look at this. He removes his weight belt. It's a white weight belt. And it says Mama Rhodes. And Rock smears Cody's blood on his hand and he rubs it on the weight belt. Rock holds Cody up and tells Mama Rhodes to look at her son. Look at her baby boy. Said Cody's father talked about hard times. Said Cody doesn't know about hard times, but he will. And he's told Cody, this is what happens when you fuck with the final boss. Of course, that was censored. Rock ran Cody into the side of the bus one last time. Then he knelt down beside him. Rock looked into the camera. He told Mama Rhodes to look at her son. Look at your son. It didn't have to be this way, but now this is the only way. And that was the parting scene as they went off the air. One thing is for sure. We know one thing for certain, other than the fact that Cody looked like a total knob here in this segment. But besides that, one thing I can confidently say now is that Rock is no double agent. Rock and Cody are not in cahoots. I can understand having a put on, making it look like, you know, oh, it could still be. When you bleed, it's just a different level. And I don't think that they would go to that, go to those lengths just to try to throw Roman Reigns off the scent. So this whole theory about, well, maybe they're in cahoots and, you know, it's going to come out that Rock was kind of with Cody the entire time. Anybody who is still thinking that or wondering that, you can crumple that up and throw that out the window. Okay, so that theory is gone. But again, this is an ending that is the sort of thing that we don't get to see very often on this show. You know, brawling outside the building, the guy comes up, he's got blood all over his face. It's the sort of thing that was commonplace on the show years ago, and they just don't do it anymore. But it had more of an attitude-like feel to it. Because we would see segments like this all the time, you know, guys brawling outside the building, even with Rock. I mentioned Rock and Austin many years ago. Guys brawling outside the building, guys bleeding, Rock's dropping. I mean, he's cussing up a storm like it's going out of style. I mean, he can't help himself every time he cuts a promo. He's a censor's worst nightmare. But I liked it. Now, you still have the issue of when the show goes off the air with Rock making Cody bleed, it makes you want to see Cody go to WrestleMania and beat The Rock. But if he wants to do it, it'll have to be in a tag team match because we're not getting Cody and Rock at WrestleMania. We're getting Cody and Roman. And it feels like every show that goes by, I'm getting less and less interested in Cody and Roman. Like, my interest level in this match, as we are 12 days out from WrestleMania, is nothing like what it would have been this time a year ago, going into their first match at WrestleMania. And I was pretty interested in seeing that match at WrestleMania 39. But the match I would rather see now is Cody and Rock, based on everything they've been doing. Now, they'll be in the ring together on night one. In the tag team match. Raw next Monday. Rock is going to be in Brooklyn. Roman is going to be in Brooklyn. And I better see Cody Rhodes come out next week. Maybe with a bandage on his head. And he needs to be throwing down. And if it means every referee in the back. If it means Adam Pearce has to be out there trying to hold this dude back. Cody can't come out there and be the diplomat. He can't come out there and, as Roman said, be the politician. He can't be the squeaky clean guy who's going to turn the other cheek and show respect and put his hand out. That has to end. At the end of this here, when Cody was laying on the ground, not only was he bleeding, Rock spit on him. He spit mostly on the ground. Fucking loogie sitting there on the ground. But he spat on the guy. He made him bleed. He talked about his mom. He left him laying outside like a dog. He actually insulted the man's dog. All these things that Rock has done. Cody has to come out next week and show that he's not going to let this stand. No babyface going into WrestleMania, going into this situation, these two main events. If one Monday Night Raw left, and there needs to be some fire from this guy next week. And I expect that there will be. And maybe he and Roman will even get physical. I would hate to think that he and Roman, what we saw on SmackDown last week, is the last of the two of them in the ring together before WrestleMania. They've got to do something better than that. They've got to do something that's going to leave people actually wanting to see those two tear each other apart. It all comes down to next week, the Go Home Raw in Brooklyn. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be here. I won't be at the Barclays Center. I'll be here, but I'm looking forward to it. when this show was over, this show breezed by. Very little filler on the show tonight. If you could even call it filler, even the Candice LeRae match, I mean, it served a purpose because she has her own angle going on. It seems very unimportant right now because she doesn't have anything lined up for WrestleMania. But the key stuff I thought delivered, the promos on this show were very strong. The CM Punk segment with McIntyre and Rollins, the best segment on WWE television all year. Easily. Best promo segment we've had all year on this show, and maybe even longer than that. And the closing angle was very strong. You know, we actually saw Rock do something other than just talk. He got physical. He beat the piss out of this man. Now we wait and hopefully see Cody get his comeback and get his revenge next week. And whatever they do, they still can't give too much away because you don't want to give everything away heading into night one and the tag team match. But they did what they had to do here. This show was excellent. I wish Raw could be like this every week. Can we send Raw to Chicago every week? We'll go from Chicago to New York, and we'll bounce back and forth between Chicago and Brooklyn. How about that? Is that what it takes? A great episode of Monday Night Raw. Two thumbs up. Ain't that right, Rock?
Look at you now.
Look at you now. That's right. Here's the Twitter poll. I went back to the thumbs up, thumbs down, by the way. I got sick of the star ratings. Dave can keep his stars. Look at this. Look at this. Almost 2,000 votes in so far. We got over 2,000 people here with us live. 92% thumbs up on this show tonight. I don't think I have ever seen a Monday Night Raw poll with these numbers before. 4% thumbs in the middle. 4% thumbs down. 92% thumbs up. That says it all right there. That says it better than I can. Seems like you guys are in agreement with me. But of course you would be, because I know what I'm talking about. That's why you tune in. If I didn't, you wouldn't. Well, thank you guys for sticking with me through that little disconnect. Doesn't happen very often. I'm going to track down that bird, and we'll take care of him. You won't be seeing him. He won't be tweeting anymore once I get done with him. We're back online here. And again, I can't see what's going on in the chat. Hopefully our mods are holding down the fort. But I can see your super chats, and I'm going to read them. The goal tonight for Be the Booker, by the way, was 450 likes. And we are getting very close to 800 likes on this stream. Can we possibly get close to 1,000? Is it possible? Could we get 1,000? We have over 2,000. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe we can hit 1,000 likes. I'll leave that up to you guys to make it happen. But we'll get to Be the Booker in a little bit. Right now, I want to get to your Super Chats first. And we're going to start off from the beginning with some of the ones that came in early. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Boy, there's a lot of them. There is a lot of feedback on this show tonight. So let's start with our boy, Lady... Well, not our boy. Let's start with a lady. I don't want to disrespect the lady here. Fire Panda. Fire Panda came in early. Well, let me see here. Maybe it is in the list here. Because the early ones have not been showing up on this list. So let's see. Let's see if it's on this list. No, it's not. But we'll pick up with Samuel in a second. Let me get to Fire Panda first. Fire Panda, thank you, by the way, for the super chat. WWE should start shooting segments every week with Drew as he goes around the streets of Chicago and visits all of Punk's favorite places and makes of them Chicago and Punk. They can call it The Adventures of Drew McIntyre. Well, maybe he can take in a White Sox game. I guess, well, Punk's a Cubs guy, right? I don't know. I don't know what Punk likes. I know he likes the Blackhawks. Is Punk a White Sox guy or a Cubs guy? I kind of feel like Punk is probably a Cubs guy because he had one of those belts over his shoulder in the back before he walked out. One of those new custom WWE MLB belts. He had the Chicago Cubs belt. So I would imagine if he was a White Sox guy, he wouldn't be wearing a Cubs belt. Philly Dried Chicken says, I'm going to say this right now. Tony Khan really needs to put that AEW world title on Swerve Strickland. Swerve will put asses in more seats. Well, I said it the other night. He has to get that belt on Swerve at Dynasty, and I think he will. I think he needs to get that belt on Swerve as soon as possible because Will Ospreay is going to win that belt at Wembley Stadium. So if you get the belt on Swerve now, as in three weeks from now, he could defend it at Double or Nothing. He could defend it at Forbidden Door. And then he could go and defend it against Ospreay at All In. And just because he loses it at All In, if he does, doesn't mean that Swerve won't be a champion again. He will. He will be a two-time, maybe even a three-time AEW World Champion, but I think they need to get that belt on him ASAP. That way he'll have at least a few months before he drops it. Dylan says, Brother Solo, going to New Orleans for the first time next week. I know how much you enjoyed yourself there. Any places you recommend? Well, if you hit Bourbon Street, which you kind of have to if you're going to New Orleans, you should hit Bourbon Street. One place I would recommend, and I don't know if you're into karaoke, all I know is that you go with friends, you go with people. I always have a blast at the Cat's Meow. I always enjoy myself there. I was at a bunch of different places. I just don't remember all of them offhand. And I haven't been to New Orleans since 2018. But check out the Cat's Meow. Check out the Cat's Meow and make sure you have a couple of hand grenades while you're down there. And hurricanes. And you'll enjoy yourself. The food is great, by the way. You definitely have the food. I don't know if you're into seafood. But there is a place called Drago's, and they have one. It's in one of the hotels there, maybe the Hilton Hotel. I wasn't staying at the hotel, but my first trip there in 2014, we went to Drago's. I'm not a seafood guy, really. I mean, I like shrimp. But I had char-grilled oysters. Fucking amazing. I've tried to have in other places since then. It just hasn't been the same. Philly Dry Chicken, I'll admit, Solid Monster, my man crush Monday tonight is Drew McIntyre. Why? It's because his personality makes me want to invite him to my cookout, says Philly Dry Chicken and Steak. Also, tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw was on steroids and on God mode. JS Warrior with the $20 super chat says, easily the best Raw in the last 10 years. So he's going all the way back. Just incredible to see how the highs were in 2000 and the terrible low this show was in 2018 to now seeing sellouts and signs starting to return. You know, you bring up a good point. One thing they have started to really encourage more of are people to bring signs. And I noticed this on Friday where they were showing shots of signs in the crowd and then telling people, we're going to be in this city next week, make sure you bring your signs. Now that doesn't mean they're not going to take your sign away if it's a sign they don't like when you come in the building, but I like that. I want to see them do more of that. I want them to encourage the return of signs. We don't have flashbulbs from cameras anymore, but at least maybe we can get some more signs in the buildings. Liven things up a little bit. But yeah, I mean, look, they're firing on all cylinders business-wise right now. They're 11th straight sellout. I'm very curious if that continues post-WrestleMania, when Rock is presumably gone. You know, if they do put the belt on Cody, we have a new champion now, first time in 3.5 years. I'm very curious if they can keep that up. Not even necessarily selling out every week, but even like near sellouts and just packing the buildings in consistently. Post-WrestleMania is a tough time period. You know, you're heading into the summer as well. People are going to be going out. They're going to be going on vacation and doing other things. Can they sustain this? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they can sustain these levels of, I mean, as far as tickets in these buildings, even the live events. It's tough to see them sustaining it at the same level going into, let's say, June. If they can do that, though, that would be very impressive. But yeah, they're just firing on all cylinders right now as far as that goes. Prince Vegeta with the $9.99. Thank you very much. I know a lot of people think she's the best thing since sliced bread, but Rhea Ripley's run as champion has been really underwhelming. She barely even wrestles on TV. Her last Raw match was day one. She does not wrestle on TV very often. And I don't know if there's a reason for that other than just... Well, I think it's a couple of things. It could partially be that they just want her to be more of an attraction.
Look, everyone, it's Samoa Bro.
Samoa Bro. They want her to be more of an attraction and not have her wrestle all the time, and that's fine. Although she should wrestle more. She's become like the MJF of Raw in that regard. We never saw MJF, hardly ever. Very rarely did he wrestle on Dynamite. When he went babyface, he was wrestling every week. But because, and they would even joke about it on TV, but because of that, in a way, it did kind of make him feel like more of an attraction. I think it's a combination of that and a combination of the very, very weak women's division. Outside, when you get past people like Rhea and Becky, and there aren't very many people that are over right now, or who could go conceivably, believably, credibly, one-on-one with Rhea Ripley. So it's a combination of a weak division and them wanting her to be more of an attraction. And that's what you end up with. You end up with Rhea Ripley almost never wrestling on TV. Who's there for her to wrestle with? Who's she going to wrestle? You know, I mean, Raquel's not around anymore. They took her off the active roster again because of her condition. But she already feuded with her. Nia, she beat Nia. I think that was the whole reason they even pushed Nia as hard as they did in the first place, was to build her up for Rhea to eventually beat her. So we've done that. And who else is left? You've got Ivy Nile. Has not been built up enough yet. Is not over. Maxine Dupri. Maxine Dupri. Yeah, no. You've got Candice. No, not yet. They're trying something with her now. You've got Indy Hartwell. No. Who am I missing? You've got Natty, you've got Shayna, you've got Zoe, you've got people, but none of them are over. Or they've already worked with Rhea. Who else is there? There's your answer. Who would you like her to wrestle on Raw? There is nobody. And if she wins at WrestleMania, they've got to remedy that as quickly as possible and get some people over on this show. Whether they move someone, I don't know when they're going to do a draft again. If it's going to be May, I don't know. It can't just be call somebody up from NXT. You can do that too, but it can't just be that. It's going to have to be people that move around. They're going to have to take the puzzle pieces and move them around. This division needs a lot of help right now. Shapey 99 with the $5 says, instead of just seeing a tag team match with Rey and Dragon Lee against Dominik and Santos, what if we add Ricochet to Rey's team and Andrade to Dominik's team? I mean, that would be one way to get Ricochet on the show. I don't see it, but it's possible. And you know what? If it gets Ricochet on the card, you get that talent in one match. Be a hell of a match. The Real CS says, with Vince and all of his stooges but Bruce being gone from WWE, why do you think TKO did not give Pritchard the boot? Is he well liked by people? Evidently, yes. Triple H likes him, and evidently he has ingratiated himself with people there, and for now it appears his job is safe. For now. C-Dust says, one of the best Raws in years. Absolutely. Prince Vegeta says, I feel like Seth Rollins is definitely in the Bloodline's back pocket. Cody beat him 3 in a row and he wants revenge. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they've made it very clear that Rollins doesn't like him. It's not like they're hiding from that fact. Yeah, I mean, again, if Rollins were to turn on him, that would imply that Cody is losing a WrestleMania. Cody cannot lose a WrestleMania. If Cody loses a WrestleMania, that's it. That's it. He cannot go in there 2 years in a row and lose. It can't happen. You can't do it. You can't do it and expect that this guy is going to continue to maintain the level of popularity that he has and the level of you know, just credibility as a top guy that he has in the eyes of the fans. You can't beat him 2 years in a row in the main event of WrestleMania like that. You can't do it. This journey called life. Becky caught Dom clean on the jaw tonight. She got him pretty good. Dan says Cena and Austin on those trucks when Rock was beating up Cody. Possible foreshadowing. You know, I didn't even notice. I wasn't even paying attention to who was on the trucks. I saw the bus, but I did not notice Cena and Austin on the trucks. You could be right. It could be foreshadowing something, or we could just be looking a little too deep into things. I know Cena is going to be at WrestleMania. Cena has brought up the possibility of being at WrestleMania on multiple TV shows too many times for him not to have some kind of role on the card of WrestleMania. Austin, I just want to see Austin come out during that main event and stun The Rock. That's really all I want to see. You give me that, I'll be happy. Samuel Hayworth, when it looked like... Oh, so we're up to Samuel here. About time here. Samuel Hayworth, thank you for the super chat. When it looked like Rock was going to throw him over the edge, the truck opposite had Austin and Cena's picture on it. Coincidence. Eagle eyes on you guys. I did not pick up on that. You may be right. Jay Martinez, drop it a $4.99. No message, just showing some love. Jay, thank you very much. Jack Lopez says, I don't like Raw. I don't like WWE, but I like the Sala Monster. Have some money. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think you would have enjoyed Raw tonight, though, if you watched it. But even if you don't like WWE... Or on a Wednesday night, if you don't really watch Dynamite and you're not particularly fond of AEW, I appreciate you hanging out with me anyway. We have fun here on these streams. Jay says, Punk felt bigger tonight. No Diddy. Oh, tonight's not the night to be bringing up Diddy. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news. I think Diddy and Vince may have something in common. KC1324, thank you for the $10. Since Rock keeps saying that he is the boss, no, he's the final boss, what are the chances that Triple H does or says something to Rock since he has not appeared since the segment where he stated, I'm looking forward to it? I'm kind of surprised that they have not gone back to that even just for a promo segment. You know, could Triple H get involved in this at some point if Rock is... abusing his power at WrestleMania? And I mean, even though it's the rules, I mean, if they win on night one, it's fair game. If he gets involved on night two, could Triple H get involved and not take any bumps? But could he throw some shots at The Rock? Could he hit a pedigree on The Rock? Maybe. But again, Cena, Austin, they've been mentioned in reports recently. I know Meltzer said something. I don't think he really knows anything about this. I kind of feel like he just threw those names out there, and it's like, you know, if one of them sticks, it's like, well, he got it right. I don't know. Look, I think there's a better chance we see those guys play a role in the match. But I am surprised they have not done a segment on TV with them, with Rock and Triple H. Tay-Tay the Savior says, easily the best Raw of 2024. CM Punk came back and gave us a classic with Rollins and McIntyre, and The Rock beats the fuck out of Cody Rhodes and leaves him bleeding in the pouring rain. Raw is cinema. Jerome Eugenio, do you think Rock and Roman will have the longest entrance in WrestleMania history? I don't know if they're going to come out together. I think Rock may get his own entrance. If they get individual entrances, you're going to have to give them the entire last hour of the show. It's just not going to be possible any other way. Oofman Entertainment, with less than 2 weeks until Mania, what inning are we at? We are in the bottom of the eighth. We're getting close. We're getting close. We're in the bottom of the eighth as far as Cody's story. Obviously, the Bloodline story is going to go on for longer, so you have to specify what you're talking about. If you're talking about the Bloodline story, because we still haven't gotten Rock against Roman, then we're probably in the fifth inning. But for Cody, we're heading into the ninth. Rodimus Prime. One of the best endings to a Raw in a long time. Love it. Cody better stand on business and get revenge next week, or else. Alex with the $32 super chat. Alex, thank you very much. Brothers Solo with Triple H and WWE producing one of the best episodes of Raw in years. Do you believe promo work or in-ring action is more important for such success, or does it vary by storyline? I think both are very important. You can't have one without the other and expect people to stay interested. So if you go overboard, as they have done before, and you have too much talking and not enough action, that's not good. If you have too many matches and no talking, and you're not developing stories in promo segments, well, you could just have a bunch of matches, but what does it mean? You've got to find that happy medium. WWE still tends to go overboard with the talking stuff, and the talking is not always as good as what we got on the show tonight. I mean, there was an episode of SmackDown. Actually, I think it was the one on Friday. I thought it was like, this episode sucked. And then you have a Raw like tonight, which is one of the best episodes of either show that they put together in forever. You know, it goes up and down like that. You got to find that happy medium, and you need the right performers. Not everybody can go out there and be The Rock. Not everybody can go out there and be CM Punk on the microphone. You can't expect Austin Theory to go out there in a segment with a microphone for 15 minutes and hold people's attention in the same way that some of these people do. So if you have the right people, the right mix of people, and you give people a little bit of both, but you don't kind of get greedy and go overboard one way or the other, you get the perfect mix, which is what we got, I felt like, on the show tonight. Still, not a lot of long matches tonight, but they're in WrestleMania mode right now. And these are the stories they're telling, and this is what they needed to do tonight. I thought they did exactly what they had to do. Jay Baker says, Punk listening to Cornette's experience in the drive-thru was a cool mention. Nick Grosso with the $9.99. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Nick. I really like the beatdown angle. The problem is that Roman is the champion, and he is so much of a third wheel, and at this point, feels like the feud is between Rock and Cody. That's exactly what it feels like. Luis Lopez, I expect the match in the ending of WrestleMania Night 2 to be something like Rock and Triple H at Backlash in 2000. That's exactly what I'm hoping for. That's exactly what I'm hoping for. Can you imagine if it's Bloodline rules and it's Night 2 and maybe Seth tried to help, or, you know, something happened earlier in the show and Seth is incapacitated, or maybe he's just pissed off, you know, if he lost his title. And maybe Jey Uso tries to help and he gets beaten down, and Cody's all by himself. He's got nobody to help him. Rock is out there. Roman's out there. Jimmy's out there. Solo's out there. What are we going to do? And then just like a Backlash, the glass shatters. And here he comes. Maybe with a steel chair in his hand. It could very well be a recreation of Backlash. Only that night, it cleared the path for Rock to beat Triple H and win the belt. Here, Rock would be the one, you know, sort of initiating the beatdown. And Cody would be the beneficiary if Austin comes out, if Cena comes out, right? The big guns. I mean, think about this. It actually makes all the sense in the world. We know that Rock and Austin obviously have history together. But what was the last time we saw John Cena? Who did he wrestle? Solo Sikoa. And Solo destroyed him. And I thought, if John Cena is going to come back for a match at WrestleMania, it would be against Solo to try to get his revenge and get his win back. Because Cena hasn't won a singles match, they said, in like 6 years. And obviously, Cena's not going to have a match at WrestleMania. But if Cena came out, Cena can fight off Solo. And if Austin comes out, he could clear house. Doesn't have to be just one person. So I think you're on to something here. And I think if they play their cards right, I said this could be a complete shit show as far as overbooking is concerned. And it didn't have to be this way, but if you're going to do it, go all the way with it and have fun with it. But just whatever you do, I think it's important. If Cody is going to go over, it's not a situation where Cena won it for him. Austin won it for him. No, you've got to make it very clear. They made it a fair fight. And when it comes right down to Cody and Roman, Cody has to show, he has to prove that he can beat this guy in a fair fight. That's what it comes down to. And if you're going to do that with bloodline rules, that's the ending I want to see. That's the ending I want to see. Have fun with it and go all the way with it. But make it clear Cody did it on his own. Unlike when Mankind, for example, won the title for the first time and Rock literally got blasted by Austin in the head with a chair and then he dragged Foley's body on top of the Rock. I don't want to see 60-year-old Steve Austin dragging Cody on top of Roman Reigns and that's why Cody wins the title. That's not what I want to see. William Sanchez. Rollins has felt like a complete nobody this whole WrestleMania season. He should leave for a while after Mania and come back a heel. I think heel Rollins against babyface Punk makes more sense too. I don't think he has to leave. What do you think he is, Chris Jericho? He could go heel. I don't think he has to leave. Why would he want to leave? He just missed. I mean, how many weeks did he miss with the MCL injury? They're going to need Rollins in the ring coming out of WrestleMania. Seymour with the $10 super chat. Is it just me or has Raw been better than SmackDown lately? No, it's not just you. It's not just you. There have been more Raws that quality-wise of late have been better than SmackDown. Also, WrestleMania needs a last man standing match. Which singles match would you make a last man standing match and why? I wouldn't because I disagree with you. I don't think it needs a last man standing match. I just talked about last man standing on the podcast yesterday. It's not my favorite stipulation. I don't think WrestleMania needs a last man standing match. Dev to Dust, what would happen if Ric Flair took the same bump Darby Allin did at Revolution? Also, great show tonight. Heel Rock is goated. Well, what would happen? Okay. If you remember when Darby came off the ladder, what happened when he hit the glass? Shattered, right? It looked like dust, right? He had shards of glass everywhere. That would be Ric Flair. All those little pieces, it looked like a dust cloud. That would be Rick. He would spontaneously combust, and there would just be old dust everywhere. And then they'd have to, like, sweep it up. It would be a whole mess. Chris AXC, why did WWE have Bianca at the WrestleMania presser if they have no clear direction for her? Did some OG plans change? How about Bianca, Naomi, and Jade against Damage Control? Oh, because Bianca is one of the faces of the company. I mean, she's on the cover of one of the versions of the video game. She's got that reality show on Hulu. She's very marketable. They've built a lot of things around her. I don't know what the OG plan would have been for her. I just don't think they had anything. If they had any OG plan for her, it probably involved Charlotte Flair. And when Charlotte got hurt, I think Bianca's plans may have gone out the window. But yeah, I mean, I pitched that very match. You could do that. You could do Bianca and Jade against the Kabuki Warriors for the tag team titles and split Naomi off and let Naomi take on Tiffany Stratton or something. I think it'll be one of those matches. MacTub says Punk or Cena on the mic. What about Punk or Austin? On the mic, Punk or Cena? I gotta go Punk. On the microphone, Punk or Austin? See, Punk on the microphone, it's just two different styles. I mean, I enjoy them both. It's hard to say because I do enjoy, you know, both of their styles and their body of work. I'd probably go Punk though. I mean, if you want somebody to really go out there and kind of nail you to the wall and talk people into the buildings. Not that Austin couldn't do that, but, you know, Punk, it's the reason why Punk went away for 7 years and came back and got the kind of reaction he did. And when he came back to WWE after 10 years, got the kind of reaction he did. It wasn't just because he went out there and had very good matches. You know, it's because people remember his promo work. They remember the pipe bomb. They remember the way he would skewer people on the microphone. That's what made him famous. That's what made him a star. Vic Grasso with the 1999, hey Nick, thank you. That promo from Rhea felt like a desperate attempt to get heel heat on her because she has been getting cheered. At this point, both Rhea and Priest have outgrown the Judgment Day and are set for face run. Judgment Day in general have become stale. Yeah, they're going to have to shake things up there. They got away from the friction that was building with Priest and Balor, Priest and the rest of the group. They may come back to it. But I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to keep the peace without it becoming very stale. Seymour says, surprised to see blading again. It used to be constant. Cena did it at a Hartford house show in 2006. It's most effective when not gratuitous. I'm all for it in select situations. I don't think it should be abused. I don't support doing it. I mean, we see people bleed every week on AEW television. It's ridiculous. I think that it should be saved for certain situations. I mean, look, the fact that you saw Cody bleeding at the end of the show, the way people kind of reacted, some people gasped. I mean, you could hear the reactions. It's because you don't see it very often. People will get busted open hard way. I mean, Bronson Reed on this show got his nose busted open. But you don't often see people on WWE TV anymore with blood pouring down their face. You know, when Kevin Owens got busted in that Steel City street fight at Payback and he had the crimson mask, you know, even then I think I said, like, you don't see that very often in WWE. So I think in select matches, I think in select situations, there are times where you can do it. Just don't abuse it. And I think that's fine. Carlos Galvan. Hey, Solomonster, if Motor City Machine Guns were to sign with WWE, would they change their name due to the machine gun part? Or would it be fine? Great show. Thank you. They'd probably change it. You know, I don't think they refer to Carl Anderson as Machine Gun Carl Anderson in WWE. I've never heard them refer to him that way. And it also could be a situation. Alex Shelley is the one who filed for the trademarks. He may not want to give that up. You know, in case things don't go well, they don't spend too much time there. They want to retain the rights to the name and they can use it on the indies again. They may not want to give it away to WWE, so they may just change the name. They've just been so established, though, for so many years with that name, it would be tough to... How do you debut them under any other name? You know? Maybe they would just call them by the initials. You know, they did that with Wesley and Nash Carter. They called them MSK. I don't remember what MSK even fucking means. But they were MSK. Okay. So maybe they would call them MCMG. Instead of calling them the Motor City Machine Guns. The Carlosis wish we had R-Truth yelling cut to commercials when Seth walked out. Well, we did not. But Carlosis, man, thank you for the 12. Very much appreciate that. Barry MK with the 5. 2K24 has a 2015 version of Seth, and it reminds me how much better he was at that time. There was a noticeable change in Seth pre and post ACL injury. Not that he still can't go out there and have very good matches, but he was a different performer when he came back. There was something that wasn't quite the same. Don Juan says McDonald's Wi-Fi. Oh, I don't have McDonald's Wi-Fi. I actually have very good Wi-Fi. Very good Wi-Fi, but like I said, I'm sure a bird or something did something to knock me offline, and then we lost 800 people. But thankfully, they all came back. You guys all came back. Can't get enough of the Solomonster, I guess. Omondo with the $10 super chat. Hey, Solomonster, was at the show tonight, and it was great. The crowd was hyped the whole night. Punk mentioned it in his promo, but do you think we will see a WrestleMania return to Chicago soon? Thank you, brother. Soon, no. Eventually, yes. I think next year is either going to be Minneapolis or Las Vegas. Whichever one it isn't, could be 42. They already teased the possibility of a London WrestleMania. Maybe that ends up being 43. I think Chicago is probably not going to happen for a while. But you have to think Chicago will happen again at some point. Darth Panic, it's all fun and games until somebody gets pink eye from the stink face. I don't know, man. Shayna Baszler was ready to take that pink eye if that were the case. She was down bad in that video. I just think of the Dolph Ziggler meme. Anderson Blitz, if you can smell what The Rock... If you can smell when The Rock is a grasshole, not a fan of The Rock. Hoffenheim, was the show really in Chicago or Rosemont, Illinois? Well, the old Rosemont Horizon, is that what they call the Allstate Arena now? Because I think they may have been in Rosemont. If Allstate is Rosemont, is the Rosemont Horizon, then they were in Rosemont. I know when they were backstage, I don't remember which segment it was, they were showing one of the concession areas and it said Rosemont, so it may have been Rosemont. Retro KOH, Punk is Cubs, White Sox is Southside Chicago, mixing up their fans is sacrilege. Like the Mets and the Yankees? All the Chicago people gonna come after me now? Hey, don't forget, I got my barbed wire baseball bat from Oz and Glorious. You Chicago people come after me, I got something for you. Chris Auditor, Solo, when you find that bird that messed with the Wi-Fi, are you going to give it the Look At You Now Rock tree? Yes. When the bird goes down, I'm going to look down at the bird, and that's exactly what I'm going to say to that bird. Look at you now. Look at you now. Hey, Mama Bird, look at your baby boy. Maximum Alex with the 1999. With this being set up like this with The Rock, do you see Roman actually betraying Rock at Mania to turn Rock face and set up their match at next year's Mania after Rock returns the favor and helps Cody? I mean, the only way I would see that is if Rock and Roman lose on night one and Roman blames Rock and turns on him, but I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. I would have the heels go over on night one. That way it's bloodline rules on night two and you get all the shenanigans and all the crazy stuff that happens. Lady Fire Panda with the 20. Typo in my first super chat. It was supposed to say makes fun of them. LOL. Also, when it's revealed that Jay and Jimmy, or Himmy, you're not doing well tonight. When Jay and Himmy have been working together, then I demand you acknowledge me as your tribal panda. Okay. I don't think I'll be acknowledging you. If that's the bet, I don't think I'm going to be acknowledging you. But I acknowledge you anyway for your super chat, so thank you. Juan Bermudez. Just got home from attending my first Raw, and it was great. Got to see Rock and Punk live, great segments and good matches. 3 hours passed quickly. It was a fun show. Probably was fun to be there. Chris Mikesell, how are you feeling about this year's Hall of Fame class? It feels like there needs to be more big name, or one more big name. Which year do you consider the weakest? Thank you, Solo. Yeah, I mean, it could use one more name, and I don't think we're going to get one more name. Sounds like Bray's not going to go in this year. He would have been that big name, I think. Batista still hasn't accepted his honor in person. I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know what the weakest year. There have been some weak years. I know what the best year was. I just answered this on the podcast. 2004. Now take a look at that 2004 class. That's a Hall of Fame class. The Mount Vernon kid, Christopher Bennett, loves seeing Ricochet shine. He is too good not to. Ricochet is very good. Money Benny, do you like Rhea Ripley? If so, why? Yes, I like Rhea Ripley. I don't even need to get into the reasons why. All the reasons. Big Rhea Ripley fan. Prince Vegeta playing a 2K24 match, Reigns against Benoit. What a match that would have been. What a match indeed. Once upon a time. Base Beerus, Scott of Seduction. I remember ziplining from the rafters at SummerSlam before I beat Lesnar with a bear hug for the belt, brother. That's why they made me the next John Wayne, dude. And I missed the call for the Foreman grill, and they gave it to George Foreman, Jack. Yes, Hulk. And take your meds. Hoffenheim, Cornette, and Punk are connected through their lawyer, Stephen P. New. He represented Punk for the Brawl Out incident. Yes, I am aware. Punk's been listening to Cornette long before that. El Prezcat, wish we can get Dustin Rhodes involved somehow. Just to complicate things even more. I think it's fine without him. Andraves Gaming says, love you. Love you, Solo. Right back at you. Right back at you. Silver Tower with the $15 super chat. Been busy at work, but now I got a week off. Thanks for the stream. It's good to hear from you. Hope you're doing well. Haven't heard from you in a while. Jay Baker, Rock Wrecking Cody felt like when Superman was destroyed by Luthor's thugs in Superman Returns. The rain definitely added to it. The rain was great. I thought the rain was fantastic. Thunder 4 says, do you think it's time for me or do you think it's time? I don't know why he put me. For WWE to drop Money in the Bank, I feel the concept has run its course. If it were up to me, I would drop it. But I know why they don't, though. It's still a popular event. So I totally understand why. But if it were me, I would give it a rest for a while. Base Beerus says, only Goldberg can stop the bloodline. Spear. Fuck Goldberg. Mystic J says, looks like Adam Pearce will have to step up his women's division. Most of the best ladies are all on SmackDown. I thought you were saying looks like Adam Pearce will have to step down because of the lack of stars in the women's division. He should step down from his post. I agree, and I would appoint William Regal as the new GM of Raw. Andraves Gaming says, love you, Solo. Thank you again. And Jace, rumors are Carmelo Hayes is due for a full-time main roster call-up after WrestleMania. What do you do first with him? What do you think is his ceiling? I think Hayes could go all the way. I know he's on the smaller side compared to some of the bigger stars like McIntyre and people like that, Sheamus and all that, but I think he's got a very high ceiling. I wonder if he'll be called up as a heel. Last time we saw him on SmackDown, he was still a babyface. So I really can't say without knowing whether he's going to be a heel or a face. And what brand he's going to be on. If he ends up on Raw, if he ends up on Raw as a heel, I mean, I would love to see him and Chad Gable mix it up. I'd love to see him and Sami Zayn have a program together. Him and Ricochet would be really great. If he were on SmackDown as a heel, at some point, you've got to do him and Kevin Owens. You've got to do him and Randy Orton. Him and LA Knight. He's a babyface. Him and AJ Styles would be a lot of fun. So again, I can't give you an answer without knowing exactly what position they're going to have him in. But there are a lot of people for him to work with that will make him even better on the main roster. And Base Beerus, God of Seduction, Gypsy Joe, and Ric Flair against New Jack. Who wins? Gypsy Joe. All the time. Gypsy Joe don't take no crap from no one. If I know Gypsy Joe, I know Gypsy Joe would put down Samoa Joe. He would put down New Jack. I don't know why I said Samoa Joe. He'd put Joe down too. He'd put down Flair, he'd put down New Jack, and he would look at them as they lay there riding on the mat, and he would say to them, look at you now. That's what he would say to them. All right. We have gone through your super chats. Thank you very much for all of your messages. The goal tonight was a meager, modest 450 likes. We are currently sitting at 860 likes. Give yourselves a round of applause. It is time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
And I wish I could see all of your wonderful messages right now. I guess I will have to watch them on the replay. Hopefully they're in the replay of this. Because ever since our little mishap, I cannot see. Probably because I didn't reload it. That's probably why. You know what? I wonder. Hold on a second here. Let me try something here. I'm going to try something. Hopefully I don't fuck everything up. I'm going to try something right now and see if this works. Let's take a look here. No. I thought maybe I could refresh it, see all your messages, but not happening. Well, that's all right. Let's be the booker. I know you guys have been waiting all night for this. I can't believe we're almost 2.5 hours into this, so let's get through it. We had a very interesting match the other night that I screwed up by adding a stipulation to it. But we booked Cody Rhodes against Dusty Rhodes. I don't think that we're going to be able to replicate that tonight. It's going to be very difficult to do. But we begin with a different Rhodes. We go from Cody Rhodes and Dusty Rhodes on Friday to here on Monday. We have Dustin Rhodes as Goldust with Booker T. You guys remember Goldust and Booker T. Very entertaining duo. Goldust and Booker T against War Machine. These are not the Viking Raiders. They're War Machine. And that would be a great match. Uffman Entertainment has a super chat coming in that says, I'm going to try something. I'm going to try something now. Equals famous last words. That's why I backed off. We're almost done here. I don't want to screw anything up at the very end, so we're going to leave it alone. All right, women's Be the Booker. Kicks off with Sable, the former WWE Women's Champion. Oh, I know we have a lot of Sable fans here. Based on the way you guys talk about her, you love Sable. I could tell. All right. It's going to be Sable going one-on-one with Marina Shafir. 3, 2, 1. I mean, that was a given. It was probably a given before we even got to Marina Shafir. But that was a given. That was an easy one right there. Don't even need to think about it. Main event time. Talk about main event Jey Uso. It's main event Solomon. They're trying to book a decent match here. All right, we begin with CM Punk. On the night that CM Punk returned in Chicago, how appropriate that we land on the Second City Saint here in the main event of Be the Booker. And of course, he's got the bad wing. So he's not 100. He's not even medically cleared. I really should start over again because he's not medically cleared. But I'm gonna allow it. How about that? Of all nights, we land on CM Punk. I wish I could see your reaction to that, but I can't see shit in the live chat. So I would imagine people are going crazy and they're losing their minds right now. Let's give it a drum roll. See who CM Punk is going to be losing. Oh, see who is going to be wrestling. CM Punk. One-on-one with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. The old school heel right there, the Million Dollar Man, CM Punk, the voice of the voiceless. That would have been a pretty good feud, actually, back in the day. Punk, and the Punk is like the anti-Million Dollar Man. That's what makes it work so well. Punk's all tatted up. Straight edge, walks around, you know, looking like everybody else. DiBiase walks around in his suits, got the million-dollar belt. He's got somebody waiting on him as his bodyguard. The antithesis of CM Punk. That's what makes it work so well. Opposites attract. That's a great main event. That's a great main event. And I think that's a fine way to conclude Be the Booker. And I hope you enjoyed it. We got Devin from New Jersey is coming in with a super chat in a few moments here. It's going to say, I predict Cena will sing Cody to the ring at WrestleMania. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Please, no. Wow! Down the smoking mirrors. Wow! There goes Cody Rhodes. Yeah, let's not do that. Cena unplugged at WrestleMania. I don't need to hear that. Cameron Spencer with the 499. I don't see Cody as world champion material. It's nothing personal. I'm just not high on him. I do hope he wins so we can move on from this story. See, that's what I've been telling people. I don't understand how everybody isn't on board for Cody to win at WrestleMania. If you hate Cody's guts and you are sick to death of hearing about the story, you of all people should want to see it come to an end at WrestleMania just so he won't have to hear about it anymore. Like, everybody should be rooting against, except Issa, everybody should be rooting against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Off Leather Wings says, a few years ago, I was playing 2K19 with the sound off on Bluetooth, my Bluetooth speaker, and my mom walked in and said, does that guy ever shut the fuck up? Well, you could tell your mother, no, he doesn't. Hey, Mama Leather Wings, I got a message for you. Mama Leather Wings, I'm gonna throw your son into the side of that bus over there, and I'm gonna look down at him, and I'm gonna say, look at you now. So you let her know that's what I said. We've come to the end of the road here. This has been quite the journey tonight. From the highest of highs to the lowest of Wi-Fi lows. But then we kicked out. We had the kick out at 2.5, and we came back, and we had a fun stream. I hope it was fun for you as well, following a great episode of Raw. I wish they could all be like that, but unfortunately, that's not the case. But next week, Raw's going to be in Brooklyn. It is the go-home edition. Rock and Roman will be on the show next Monday. That's going to be a big one, so make sure you tune in for that. But we're not done this week, because we still have Dynamite on Wednesday. So even if you're not a Dynamite viewer, come hang out with us anyway. And on Friday, we've got SmackDown coming up. And then we got a very big week, a very busy week coming up next week. I made the announcement on the podcast yesterday that I'm going to be doing some stuff with the Fox Sports Radio affiliate in Philadelphia. I'll be remoting in and doing some stuff next Tuesday with them, talking WrestleMania. And I'll be in Philly at their studios next Thursday to record my WrestleMania predictions in the Dunkin' Lounge. They have the Dunkin' Donuts Music Lounge there. We can have a very small audience. It's not a huge space, but we can probably get anywhere from 15 to 20 people in there. And so if you are interested, if you are a Sound Off fan and want to attend, we'll try to make it interactive and maybe take some audience questions as well. Let me know. Get in touch. I gave the address for the studio and all the information on the podcast yesterday, episode 853. So just think about it. If you live in the area or if you're coming into town, you're going to be in town that Thursday. Probably going to be doing it about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Would love to have you. Want to get as many Sound Off fans in there as even if we can't all fit them in there. We'll get you in the hallway. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it next week. And I will be live for Raw next week. I will be live for Dynamite. I will not be live for SmackDown next Friday. That's the final SmackDown before WrestleMania because I will still be, I'll be on my way home probably, but I will be in Philly that afternoon for House of Glory. But I will be here for WrestleMania, so fun stuff coming up. I hope you guys are going to be joining me for all of it. Be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great night. Hit that like button on the way out. Do me a solid. Check out that Goldberg short, by the way, that I put up on the YouTube channel if you missed it. It's only 58 seconds. And I'll see you guys back here for Dynamite on Wednesday. Until next time, have a good night. I'll see you Wednesday.